From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln. And this week, that means we are, of course, talking about the Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Judge Brett Kavanaugh that took place this past week in our nation's capital. This is what everyone has been talking about, and rightfully so. This is a historic moment and turning point for our nation. But we are going to have a special guest, our very own Karen Bowling, executive director at Nebraska Family Alliance, who was one of the few people invited to be present and actually attend those hearings. She'll be joining us shortly to share her perspective and what Nebraskans need to know about Judge Kavanaugh and his path forward to the Supreme Court. And there is so much that can be said about the hearings this past week. This is such a huge moment. This is the president's second nominee to the highest court in the land. But it's unfortunate that what we really saw with the hearings last week was too much of a political circus and grandstanding from senators who were more interested probably in helping launch their own presidential campaign than actually focusing on Judge Kavanaugh and what type of Supreme Court justice will he be and what are his views on the role of the Supreme Court. And that was unfortunate because this is a key opportunity for the American people to get to hear from Judge Kavanaugh. And from everything I've seen, he appears to be someone with an incredible record, someone who will serve honorably and certainly deserves a seat on the Supreme Court. And so we got to hear a lot of speeches this past week from senators on the Judiciary Committee. We heard a lot of good ones, a lot of terrible ones. But I thought by far the best thing I heard came from our own senator, Senator Ben Sasse, who plays a crucial role on the Judiciary Committee. And he really laid into Congress for not doing their job and for politicizing the judicial branch. And I wish I can play the whole speech. It's that good and it's that important. But here's how Senator Sasse concluded with his opening remarks this past week. Take a listen.
The solution here is not to try to find judges who will be policymakers. The solution is not to try to turn the Supreme Court into an election battle for TV. The solution is to restore a proper constitutional order with a balance of powers. We need Schoolhouse Rock back. We need a Congress that writes laws and then stands before the people and suffers the consequences and gets to go back to our own Mount Vernon if that's what the electors decide. We need an executive branch that has a humble view of its job as enforcing the law, not trying to write laws in the Congress's absence. And we need a judiciary that tries to apply written laws to facts and cases that are actually before it. This is the elegant and the fair process that the founders created. It's the process where the people who are elected, 2 and 6 years in this institution, 4 years in the executive branch, can be fired because the justices and the judges, the men and women who serve America's people by wearing black robes, they're insulated from politics. This is why we talk about an independent judiciary. This is why they wear robes. This is why we shouldn't talk about Republican and Democratic judges and justices. This is why we say justice is blind. This is why we give judges lifetime tenure. And this is why this is the last job interview Brett Kavanaugh will ever have, because he's going to a job where he's not supposed to be a super legislator. So the question before us today is not what does Brett Kavanaugh think 11 years ago on some policy matter. The question before us is whether or not he has the temperament and the character to take his policy views and his political preferences and put them in a box marked irrelevant and set it aside every morning when he puts on the black robe. The question is, does he have the character and temperament to do that? If you don't think he does, vote no. But if you think he does, stop the charades. Because at the end of the day, I think all of us know that Brett Kavanaugh understands his job isn't to rewrite laws as he wishes they were. He understands that he's not being interviewed to be a super legislator. He understands that his job isn't to seek popularity. His job is to be fair and dispassionate. It is not to exercise empathy. It is to follow written laws. Contrary to the onion-like smears that we hear outside, Judge Kavanaugh doesn't hate women and children. Judge Kavanaugh doesn't lust after dirty water and stinky air. No, looking at his record, it seems to me that what he actually dislikes are legislators that are too lazy and too risk-averse to do our actual jobs. It seems to me that if you read his 300-plus opinions, what his opinions reveal to me is a dissatisfaction. I think he would argue a constitutionally compelled dissatisfaction with power-hungry executive branch bureaucrats doing our job when we fail to do it. And in this view, I think he's aligned with the founders. For our Constitution places power not in the hands of this city's bureaucracy, which can't be fired, but our Constitution places the policymaking power in the 535 of our hands because the voters can hire and fire us. And if the voters are going to retain their power, they need a legislature that's responsive to politics, not a judiciary that's responsive to politics. It seems to me that Judge Kavanaugh is ready to do his job. The question for us is whether we're ready to do our job.
Some incredibly powerful, well-spoken words from Senator Sasse that deserve to be praised. And I'm pleased to be joined now by Karen Bowling, our executive director at Nebraska Family Alliance, who had the honor of being present for the start of Judge Kavanaugh's Supreme Court confirmation hearings. And Karen, I know that I and so many others were especially grateful that you were able to be there to support Judge Kavanaugh in what turned out to be a very turbulent week. But we're also glad to have you back in Nebraska and glad to have you on the program today.
Nate, it's great to join you today on the Capitol Connection. And I was honored to get to be present at the confirmation hearing as a guest of Senator Sasse.
And Karen, you were one of the few people given access as a special guest of a United States senator to be physically present inside the committee hearing room. And you were also not one of the many people to be escorted out for arrests and even arrested for protesting and shouting and really trying to disrupt the hearing. And Karen, tell our listeners, what was it like to be present inside the hearing room that first day?
It was an experience of a lifetime. And within 5 seconds, I said 5 seconds of opening statements of Senator Grassley, who chaired the hearings, there was objection from the Democratic senators trying to render the hearing null and void, that it should be canceled. I realized 5 seconds in, this was going to be quite the experience. And probably 2 minutes in, the first protester stood up. And they weren't in volume 4, 5, 6. They were at volume 20. And they were very angry. And so it took a while, really, for Capitol Police to figure out what was happening. And in that first day of hearing, there were over 70 protesters arrested. 70 protesters arrested. It was something that I've never experienced before.
I was shocked watching online. I think a lot of people knew. We all were aware this was going to be very heated and controversial at times, but the constant outbursts and interruptions, I think, surprised even the United States senators on the committee. 70 arrests. What was going on inside the hearing room? I mean, it's not a very big room. There's very limited access. What was happening that so many people were able to get in the room to try and derail the process?
So let me just create a picture for you. The first row, after the media tables, the first row were invited guests of senators, U.S. senators. Then behind that were only three rows where public could get in. Some people had stood all night to get in. And so what they did, they would take their tickets and let them come in. They'd have a seat. And it became very apparent it was so orchestrated because people would just stand up and start to holler out. And they all had one consistent theme, and that was say no to Kavanaugh. And then they'd add a caveat, women will die, or I'll lose my Social Security. And it was happening at a rate of about every minute at the initial start. So we were 2 hours into the hearing that was just filled with protest. Finally, Judge Kavanaugh got introduced. It's really delaying a process. Now, I'm one for civil discourse. I'm also one. The First Amendment gives us the right to protest, and I honor that. But there's a place and a time to do so. And that was not the place to do it. And what is very sad to me, Nate, Judge Kavanaugh and his wife had their two precious girls there, 13 and 7 years old, and they had to be ushered out within 30, 40 minutes because of the accusations that were being hurled from the crowd. That's their dad. And there were the guest to my right. She was actually very nervous. She kept, you know, leaning into me and saying, "Are we safe?" Now, let me tell you, I always felt safe. You had to go through security clearance, so I was very well. There's going to be nobody there that had a weapon, and this was going to be a shouting match. That was the attempt to just derail the process, and it's tragic. It is very tragic to experience that, but fortunately, as the week has continued on, we did get to hear from Judge Kavanaugh. What an amazing man.
I think you're exactly right. Free speech is free speech, but the lack of civility and civil discourse was really disheartening. But as you mentioned, Judge Kavanaugh really handled it masterfully. What was your impression of Judge Kavanaugh when you were attending the hearings?
Going into the hearing, I already believed he would serve in the role of Associate Justice for the Supreme Court. He would serve that role wonderfully. He was the man for the job. But after hearing him, I'm even more convinced. Here is a gentleman who's given his life to the service of the nation. He has served on the D.C. Circuit, which oftentimes is referred to the mini Supreme Court. He's written over 300 opinions, Nate. And of those 300 opinions, 13 found their way up to the Supreme Court and were upheld. His judicial record is excellence. But also what I observed about him is his temperament. Not once did he get flustered. Not once did he lash back with anger. In fact, often those that were in opposition, I would notice when they would ask questions that were kind of a gotcha question. He'd listen, he'd keep a pretty sober face, and after they were done stating their question, he would lean in, look them in the eye, and have a smile and say, "Senator, let me address that question." He wasn't afraid to field questions. He answered questions, but he did so with what I would say a combination of truth and grace. It's refreshing to experience that from a well-qualified man. You know, justices don't wear red robes. They don't wear blue robes. Senator Sasse stated that so well. They wear a black robe. They wear a black robe. This isn't a place to let your political views be heard. And Judge Kavanaugh expressed that over and over again. He recognizes the role of all three branches of government, the equality of that, but how our forefathers designed it to function. Why? For the good of the people.
That's exactly right. And Judge Kavanaugh really did set a good example, I think, for the country during such an emotional and turbulent time when there's so much division. But he was willing to listen to both sides and answer questions respectfully. And unfortunately, I think there were certain senators who weren't really interested in what Judge Kavanaugh had to say and just wanted to score political points and get their own message across. But our own senator, Senator Ben Sasse, really received a lot of attention and praise for his opening statement that he gave at the hearing. What did you think? What was your reaction when you heard Senator Sasse really almost kind of lay in to Congress for not doing their job and for politicizing this process?
Nate, I was on the edge of my seat. He's only 30 seconds into his opening statements, and he has me. He has me, and he said, "You know, we need a civics lesson. This is civics 101. And as he articulated so well the role of a judge and the temperament of a judge, how essential it is, and the recognition of just the Judge Kavanaugh's record. And so he really countered some of the other opening statements that we don't have enough documentation. He went after that, but he too did it with grace. He wasn't afraid to back down, but he did it so you could be heard. And it's a lesson for all of us. in the hour of such unrest, the power of civil discourse as a republic, as a pluralistic society, we all lose when we get into shouting matches. And Senator Sasse did an excellent job. I know he was on lots of national outlets getting to share. There's actually an op-ed now that was in the Washington Post. He's just excellent in communicating. And I think that one note that I would say that I really appreciate about Senator Sasse is he presents it for you and I, for Jane and John. And he removes from the legalese to, okay, how does this affect you and I? He was excellent at that.
I know I was very proud to see a senator from Nebraska really take a leadership role in that. It's such a vital committee. Is really the whole nation is watching this confirmation process now. And I think that Senator Sasse really did an excellent job of representing the people of Nebraska and the values that we want to see in a Supreme Court justice. And Karen, this is really a historic moment for our country. This appointment can shift the balance on the Supreme Court. And you were able to be there. What was your biggest takeaway from your time in Washington attending Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation hearing?
It is a historic moment, as you so well stated, Nate. We have an opportunity that in my lifetime we've not had before. To not only nominate from the president, but to confirm, U.S. senators to confirm, a judge who will be a constitutionalist, who will recognize the rule of law, and understands their role is not to be a super legislator and legislate from the bench. This is historic, and my prayer is that our U.S. senators will confirm him. You know, a nomination and confirmation to the United States Supreme Court is a lifetime appointment. This could shift the court for a generation. It exceeds just election cycles. They come, they go. Even the President of the United States gets 8 years to influence the direction of a nation. But our Supreme Court justices can influence a generation. I was witnessing history live. And as I'm talking, I'm tearing up because I recognize this is a moment in history that we must not miss. We must confirm him. And I'm grateful that both of Nebraska U.S. senators will confirm Judge Kavanaugh. He deserves to be confirmed.
He does. And Karen, you expressed confidence that Judge Kavanaugh will be confirmed, and certainly he appears to be on that track. And when you think about the contrast here, President Trump, this is his second appointment to the Supreme Court. We can really only imagine how different the Supreme Court would look had that been an Obama appointee or a Hillary Clinton appointee. What do you think this is going to do for the trajectory of our nation?
As a conservative, and as conservatives in Nebraska, this is our hour. This is our time and season. We dream for moments like this because we recognize the values that we care about. Hardworking Nebraskans, farmers, ranchers, small business owners who don't look to the government to fix everything. We just want to roll back our sleeves and get the job done. And particularly for those of us that adhere to a faith, the values of those faiths, religious freedom, this I don't even know how to put it in words, but has the opportunity to put our nation back on a sure foundation. Now, what I just said, I want to say it again. This is a moment in history that really can change the direction of our nation to honor our first freedoms. It's powerful. And I believe Judge Kavanaugh, there will probably be opinions that he issues that I may potentially disagree with. But as you said, we could be looking at a nominee that was appointed through President Obama, or it could have been Hillary Clinton. We need to relish this moment. We also need to pray for this moment, that it doesn't abort in the process, that it can happen, and that the judge can be seated by October 1st at the start of the new Supreme Court session.
Karen, you've captured it so well, and that leads me to my next question. How can the people of Nebraska be praying for both Judge Kavanaugh and our U.S. senators who will be voting to confirm him to the Supreme Court?
Well, I don't want to talk spiritualese, but just go with me here a moment, Nate. I think it's very simple that we pray that our U.S. senators will have a conscience, and a conscience that's not politically motivated, but will have a conscience to do the right thing. Why? For the American people. Pray for them. Pray that Senator Sass, he will continue to influence his colleagues. Pray for Senator Fisher, that she will be able to influence her colleagues. There are a couple Republican colleagues we always wonder about, that we talk about, but that they will be firm, and that the senators that seem positioned to confirm him will not waffle in that decision. And I pray for a growth of average Jane and John citizens to contact their senators and say, please confirm Judge Kavanaugh. This is a moment in history that many of us don't get in our lifetime. And it's here in our lifetime, and we need to take it seriously. Secondly, I would pray for Judge Kavanaugh and his wife and his children. Anybody that would be willing to go through 4 days of grueling cross-examination, be restrained in that, be knowledgeable when they're asking you about your 300 opinions that you've written, or a Federalist paper, or what a justice said 25 years ago. I mean, just the intellectual capacity that it takes for that is amazing, and he did it so well. But he's a man. He has a wife, he has a family, and we need to be praying for him, that God would shine his love and favor on this family after this grueling process this week.
Karen, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and insight and firsthand experience getting to be there. It's incredibly valuable to get that insight. And we have a really exciting event that we also want to talk about. Nebraska Family Alliance will be hosting a 30th anniversary gala this fall on October 26th in Lincoln. It's going to be such a fun evening, celebrating and uniting with like-minded individuals, and really to continue to put our state on a path forward to protect the values that we cherish. Karen, tell us a little bit about what people can expect and look forward to at our 30th anniversary gala.
It's going to be a powerful night. Our theme is Everyday Heroes. And Nate, our special guest, are Jack Phillips from Masterpiece Cake Shop and Baronel Stutzman with Arlene's Florals. These two individuals, they're average day citizens who have stood for religious liberty to be able to live and work and raise a family and adhere to their deeply held beliefs. They're going to share their stories. But it doesn't end there. We just confirmed last week that we are going to have Kelvin Cochran with us. He was the fire chief at Atlanta, and he lost his job. Why? Because of a private Bible study which highlighted his views on marriage, that it's between one man and one woman, and that's it. And he ultimately lost his job. All of these three individuals are heroes. They're heroes of the faith, and they're going to be inspiring us and sharing their story. And we're going to celebrate what God's done over the last 30 years. You know, Nate, every day you and I get to be a voice for the people in Nebraska, and we are honored to be a voice for family, freedom, and life. And we want to invite Nebraskans to the party because we are going to celebrate on October 26th.
We are. It's really the social conservative event of the year in Nebraska, and we hope that you will join us. You can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org for all of the event information and to purchase tickets, and we hope to see you there on October 26th. Karen, it was such a privilege getting to have you on the program today. We so appreciate your service to the people of Nebraska and for standing in the gap to defend faith, family, and freedom.
Nate, it was an honor to be with you, and I extend just gratitude to Nebraskans, and I am so thankful. I tell my colleagues here at NFA every day, I have the best team. God has just been kind to me, and Nate, you're part of that team, and it's an honor to work side by side with you.
Well, it's an honor for everyone at NFA to get to work on behalf of Nebraskans to advance family, freedom, and life. As always, you can find more information at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'm your host, Nate Groz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.